lessons. We've been doing them for over 6 months, and this is the year we're talking about building on the right foundations. So we've been talking about the foundations this year, and we are next week moving on to the foundation of the family, and just working on the family. And now I've been praying and thinking about this, is how we want to do this. Is a lot of the, well, some of the weeks we'll move off to the back, and that we'll do something else out here with everybody, and just the Murray people back there. But we will start off with everyone in here, because you don't have to be married to find out the importance of marriage, the principles of marriage, because the principles of marriage apply to your relationship with Christ. It's the same relationship as God, as Christ of the church. So let husbands love their wives. There's a lot, just like a father-son relationship we'll talk about this morning. There's a lot in that relationship. You might not have kids, but if you understand the relationship, you'll understand how you're supposed to have a relationship with the Lord. The same in marriage. And so we'll cover many principles. It'll also give you wisdom how to help people who might be having some problems in their marriage and stuff. So next Sunday, we move on to that. And but this week, as we're finishing up foundations, and we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. Actually, both the message this morning, totally different subject, but also Matthew 6. So your Bible will get all the dust off those pages, and you'll be ready to go. Matthew 6. I'm talking today about the foundation of money. The foundation of money. Now, I don't think I'm going to get anywhere near through this. I'm not sure. I can go really, really fast when I want to, but you don't get as much. And there's a lot of information here. Money is talked about a lot in the Bible, all over the Bible. And that's a very important subject in the Bible. It's funny. People who are bad with money think money's not important. People who are good with money think money's very important, and they think it should be talked about. People who are bad with money don't think it should be talked about, because they think money's not important. And both of them, their motives are not quite right. People who money's important to and love money, they like to have it talked about all the time. That's why churches that talk about money all the time thrive. Because they grow like crazy. Not because they're spiritual, because everybody wants to be rich, and our nation loves money. And if the church is going to tell you you can be a millionaire, and this is God's going to make you healthy and wealthy, people flocked to that like crazy. And but if you teach the biblical teaching on money, Americans look at you like, what planet did you come from? And so there's so many things to teach, because the Bible talks so much about it. And there are so many things where people are wrong from one angle or another. Oh, money's stupid. Money's not important. That's unbiblical. Okay? Yeah, money. You know what? God, if I serve God, I'm going to have wealth. That's unbiblical too. God wants me to be rich. That's unbiblical too. There's a lot of unbiblical thoughts. And there's what the Bible says. And it's not the way we think about money. And I want to just kind of give the foundation of money so we can understand the underlying principles. And I have too much to get through. I may, if we don't get through enough, may finish this up tonight for tonight's message. I don't think I will do that, but we'll see what happens. I have something else for tonight, but we'll see how the Lord leads. Matthew 6, I'm going to start at verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, focused, clear, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Speaking of money. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so how do you know he's talking about money there? Because he's talking about it before, and now he continues to talk about money. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And money it has a lot to do with the eyes, obviously, because you can see in this passage. And if you can't get your eyes under control, you will have discontent with money, it will not matter your income. Okay? If your eyes are wrong, you're not gonna be content with money. There's a lot. There's so many things I don't even have in here. but let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into the foundations of money. And Father, I feel privileged to teach on your word. Lord, there's a lot of scripture here. Lord, you just teach us a lot about money, and because it's something so powerful and controls so many people, and it can be such a blessing, and so many things here, Lord. And we just pray that you'd help. You would give me your thoughts. I would say your words. That you'd speak to us in great power and help us that we can't go deeply into every subject of money, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to kind of understand the biblical principles of it, that thy spirit would renew our minds, Lord. It's very tough in the next 35, 40 minutes to undo what the TV's been telling us opposite of for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. But I pray that your word is so powerful and your spirit is so powerful that that would happen, and you'd help us to reformulate the way we think of things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just some thoughts here. First mention in money is actually Genesis 23, verse 9 and 13, and it's not a real important passage on that. Abraham wants to bury Sarah, and he says, let me buy a cave. And I think that's the first mention of the money in the Bible. And he says, how much is it worth? And I'll pay you for it. I think, well, a lot of times primitive cultures and probably a lot of Bible times, money was not so much, we are exclusive money, okay? We are an exclusive money society. The Bible, when it speaks of money, is not quite so tight as that. I have a book, a pretty neat little book. It's a kid's book, but it's about money and throughout history. And they used to use coins that were taller than a human. And there's all kinds of crazy things. Yap, the island of Yap, had a giant stone coins that were bigger than, they were taller than human. They were a ton and a half each, and that was a stone coin. And currency is what we use. We think in terms of currency. Bartering is not uncommon in the world today. I kind of like a bartering system. I have a bunch of wool for my sheep, and I need a bunch of vegetables, and I'll give you this bundle of wool, and you give me those vegetables. And as a matter of fact, bartering is kind of coming back right now. It's kind of a thing right now. People are starting to barter back and forth, and sometimes societies don't have much cash. They're agricultural or whatever, and so you do those things. But when you think of goods, if there is no money, and you think of transferring things, like if you had, 10,000 sheep, you're a wealthy man, though you might not have a penny in your pocket. Okay, it's things. But that's where it's mentioned first in the Bible, and then it goes forward from there. I'm just going to give you some points. I'm trying to keep them together in certain parts of the Bible because it's all over the Bible to make it easier to find. Number one, we are not to stack up treasures on earth, but in heaven. We are not to stack up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay it for yourself treasures in heaven. There's not a lot of explaining to do on that, except for, what is your life? And we never talked about money many times. It says, hey, you lay it for yourselves and all these things, and you die. and it didn't matter. I don't, and we'll get to it a little bit later. I don't mind having things. There's nothing wrong with having things. But if you're stacking, if you've got treasures, and you're stacking up treasures on earth, someday you're going to wish you'd have gotten rid of those and stacked them up in heaven, because you could have given them to 1,000 good things. And laying up is kind of a phrase that God uses carefully there. I think if you understand, laying up is not, I need a car, I'm going to buy a nice new car, I've worked hard to save money, I'm going to buy a nice new car. That's not laying up. Laying up is just put a bunch of stuff aside that you're not using. It's pride. It's overkill. It's three houses here and there, and it's more cars you can possibly drive and that you can use if everybody drove. That's laying up. Do you understand the difference? It's just there are people who are excessive and insecure, and Esmeralda Marcos, I think of the Philippines, if you remember her. 80s, I believe she was in there. The Filipinos were starving, and she had an obsession with shoes. And she had so many pairs of expensive $1,000. I mean, you know, and the Bible says a woman can never have enough shoes. And it doesn't say that. And but really? And but no matter how many clothes she has thereof, she shall still look and say, "I have nothing to wear thereof." And but you have this there's this thing where you just lay and stack up and you're overkill. And I do not begrudge someone who's worked hard and lives in a wealthy nation. I don't begrudge you nice things. I think it's fine. I think you can't hold them too tight. But I don't mind having nice things. I think it's fine. But I think if you're just stacking up, laying up for your treasures, and your treasures are on this earth. This earth is your thing. And you're focusing on how much you can get. You remember the old bumper sticker, "He that dies with the most toys wins"? I think if you have that mentality, then you're messed up. Number two, money is incredibly important and powerful to humans. Money is incredibly powerful and important to humans. Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It doesn't say where your treasure is, your heart tends toward there. It says your heart will be there. Okay, that's very important to understand that. treasure is a relative term. They say one person's junk is another person's treasure. You might have a relic from your great-grandma that is more important to you than your car. And the relic may be worth $87 and the car might be worth $14,000. Okay, and so treasure is a relative term. I want to say this: poor people can be very greedy and very stingy, and holding on to things tighter than people with stuff. Not necessarily. It's every individual is different. You can have rich people who are very generous. Now it's hard to tell with a rich person. People talk about how generous Bill Gates is. And he's given away more than anybody in the history of the world. Bill Gates has, through his foundations and stuff. And he's given away, I think it pushes, you know, $15 billion he's given away. But he's not hurting. He's still got $40 billion left. You know what I'm saying? He's still got $25, $30 billion left. Praise God. I mean, you know, people give away money who are rich. But have Bill Gates live in an apartment and drive an old junky car and have no money in the bank because he gave away everything else, then we'll find out if he's generous. In other words, we don't know if rich people are generous. It's hard to tell because they never hurt. I think every Christian should give away till they hurt. And now, that's all different for all of us. And I think a poor person, by the way, I always love them. Poor people don't give and then begrudge rich people for not giving enough. Everybody's supposed to give. Give till it hurts. And Jesus prays very highly the woman with her two mites. She gave all she had. And it's just easier when you're poor to give away your two mites than your $2 billion. That's all. But it's all the same thing. It's what you have given to God. It's so powerful. Jesus could not win the rich man to Christ. Jesus was witnessing to him. That's how powerful money is. He was a clean, good, moral, decent, high character man. A good man who is living morally and decently and trying to follow God and took the time to walk to Jesus and say, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He was a decent man, but money is so powerful. It's so powerful. If it wasn't powerful, nobody would work on Sunday. The Word of God's more important. Church is more important. Amen? Money is very powerful. You got to be very careful with it. And there's a lot more on that. But I just want you to understand, money in the Bible is important. Okay? And I want you to get that statement. Money in the Bible is important. You say, "Pastor, that's not biblical." It is biblical. It's not important for the same reasons it's important to Americans. It's important because it's powerful. Nuclear bombs are important. Why? Because you mistreat one, and it blows up, it's very dangerous, okay? Money is very important because it transforms lives. Esau, for a little food, gave away his entire birthright. Today, 4,000 years later, his generations are still living hard because he wanted a pot of porridge. And that's money. It was what they were trading at the time. Money is very powerful. And you see the rich young ruler, you see the power of that. Number three, therefore we should have the right attitude toward money. We should have the right attitude toward money. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Important chapter on money. If a church's teaching on money is covetous, the Bible says that's a sign of a false prophet. But they should teach on money. I think every time, but if it's not, it's almost every time a false prophet, the characteristics are mentioned, it talks about money. And it's very, very common. And 1 Timothy 6 does that a couple times, I believe. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The right attitude toward money, first of all, is not to love money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's do 9 and 10. But they that will be rich, you want to be rich. Now that's an important phrase. Man, I got so many messages I don't need to preach here. The phrase is they want to be rich. Though all of those I've seen who are wealthy and godly did not strive for being rich. Okay? They did not try to be rich. They were diligent. And God blessed them. And they gave. And God blessed them more. And they gave. And God. That's the same pattern. But if you want to be rich, i.e. lottery tickets and casinos and a whole bunch of things like that, they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare of the devil. You're a goner. The devil's got you. They that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. You ever notice there's pawn shops across from casinos? Hopefully you notice driving by. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And while many coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, this verse is very hard to understand. For so many years, I never understood that. I thought, what does money have to do with every kind of, every sin isn't money based? The way you understand it is this. For the love of money, every kind of evil is done. Okay? Somebody will go and murder for money. Somebody will commit fornication for money. Prostitute. They will lie for money. They will hate their brother for money. See an inheritance situation. For the love of money, every kind of sin in the book, every type of evil in the book has been done because somebody loved money. Okay? Now, you might go and you might hate somebody, want to get revenge and go key their car. You didn't do that because of love of money, but people have keyed cars because of love of money. They stole my money. I'll teach them. See, love of money can make you do anything. It can make you do anything. It can make you leave your spouse. Make you do any. It is the love of money can be a root of every evil, every kind of sin. You can do every kind of sin because you love money. It scatters the board. It makes you do everything, and that's what love of money will do. It'll make you not go to church. It'll make you deny Christ. When somebody's interviewing you, it'll do all kinds of things because you have to have that job. You have to have that money. Do not love money. The Bible commands you. Do not love it. Doesn't mean you hate it. Okay? I think hate isn't, you can hate money and be okay. You can not hate money and be okay. I think loving is the problem. Okay? Number two, you should not trust in money. 1 Timothy 6. And verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. And that's a temptation of rich people, is to be haughty and better than people. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth richly all things to enjoy. I've talked about it so many times. But then it says they that do, I'll look at that later. I preach it so many times, but listen, don't trust money. Money is unstable. Money, trust in God. Famines can happen, collapse of economies can happen, Real estate collapses. Bubbles happen all the time. We're going in another, we're starting right now several more bubbles. And we're gonna things change. I like having things more than money, just because I understand the Federal Reserve and money and things like that. I like having food better than money. I like having no debt better than money. When you go and you trust in money, you trust in your riches, you have money in the bank, you have a paid off this, you have that. It's all good. It's fine. Great. Pay off things. I'm just saying, don't trust in money. Don't trust in companies. You know, listen, there's so many people. I mean, I know people. I know a guy who worked for Enron, was highly invested in Enron. His entire retirement is Enron. And boom, he had to start his whole retirement over in his late 50s. Listen, don't trust in money. Our dollar can collapse. And you can have $1 million in the bank. Look at Germany after World War I. Wheelbarrows full. Zimbabwe. You could take a wheelbarrow full of their cash that used to be wealthy men with and buy bread. Don't trust in uncertain riches. You can be robbed. Your house can burn down. And your cash burns with it. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. Don't trust in riches. Trust in God. If God's blessed you and you have, that's good. Praise God. But don't make that your security. You tell God, God, now I'm thankful I have this and I appreciate it. And you might use this, but Lord, you don't need to use this. I trust you alone. And that's what you do. Number three, if you have it, be very willing to depart with it. If you have money or riches or wealth, be very willing to depart with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, you read, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And they that do good, if they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In other words, treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. And so, we see that. They should be very willing to depart from it and to lose it all. A.W. Tozer said, never own anything. Get rid of the sense of possessing. Never own anything. Get rid of the sense of possessing. Now, if you're going to keep out of that sin of holding on to things, because everything should be God's, and God may say, give it all up and move to some foreign country, or just give it all to the poor, like he did sometimes. He did do that sometimes. I want to say this. When you're there, you're a lot better off not having a lot, because you'll find it much easier. You'll find it much easier. Hey, listen, if God tells me to give up my car, if anybody wants it. But if I had a nice Land Rover that I'd saved up 10 years to get, and God said, give that to them, they need a car, I'd be saying, I can't hear you. What was that? Boy, it's loud out here. And you know, why? Because the nicer the stuff. So before you get too excited about trying to get rich, realize God might say, give it all up. And it is not as easy as it seems to a poor person. I would give it up my apartment gladly. My house now? I put 10 years of work into that thing. I finally got the roof to stop leaking. I'm not ready to give it away now. And if I am, I'm going to nail some holes through it and make it leak on them. But it's a lot harder when you have things. And so be ready to depart from it. Give and do not expect anything in return. Let's go to Matthew 5. Give and don't expect anything in return. You, if you are a giver, this is a funny thing. Givers are so wonderful, so such a blessing. Many times givers become bitter because they give and then they need and they expect somebody else to give to them. When you give, don't expect anybody to give to you. Don't expect them. You didn't give it if they owe you something. You lent it. They didn't even say thank you. Why'd you give? They should have said thank you. I agree. But if you just gave it to God, giving is freely. Okay? And so you give it freely. And don't expect anything back from people. And by the way, you'll be much happier. Acts 5:42. And give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn thou not away. So, Bible talks a lot about giving. You don't expect anything back, and don't expect anything again. And there's other verses. I have a principle that I have in my life is this: relationships are more important than things to me. And if I'm going to let somebody borrow something, and I do, if I have to have it back and I'm going to be angry if they don't give it back, I don't loan it. Now, I should be a good enough Christian that I can give anything to anybody and not expect it back. But people say, can I borrow it or bring it back in a day? If I loan it to them and they don't bring it back, I gave it to God. Because relationships are more important. There's a lot of enemies that made that way. Don't just give. Just give freely. And if you have to have, and by the way, if I have to have it, I don't loan it. That makes sense? There's things you have to have for your family or whatever. If I have to have it, listen, I don't loan my car to everybody. If I have one car and I get my family around, have to get to church, I won't loan that one car out if I have to have it back, because they might not get it back. Accidents happen. And if I ask how many of you borrowed somebody's car and wrecked, or how many of you somebody borrowed your car and wrecked, you'd be surprised how many. And it's just stuff happens. Next, money tests us to see how. No, we get another point. I want to get back. Money lovers are destroyed. They just get destroyed. Man, I got too many things in here. Money lovers are destroyed. James chapter 5. James, God says you're in big trouble if you love money. And live it up. Have fun. Money can bring you a lot of temporary happiness. But just understand, the rock's rolling down the hill and you can't move out of the way. James chapter 5 and verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields. These are greedy people who oppress people. Which is of you have kept back by fraud, crieth. You didn't pay the people you're supposed to pay. You're a greedy, nasty, money-loving. It's coming. And the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter, like a cow gets fed to get slaughtered. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. And then he says, hey, brothers, be patient. The Lord's coming, and he's going to do all the justice in this stuff. Rich people who love money and are greedy and stuff like that. And I want to say this, just in business in America, it is very hard to run a business. It takes a lot of risk, a lot of money to start a business and all those things. And I don't begrudge a man who's running the business, working more hours, doing all that stuff, and is creative. And I don't mind him making money. I have no problem with that. We have occasionally throughout our history, and right now, in the last 15 years, we've come back to it, where we have an over-greedy CEO system. There's never been as high of a ratio in the history of America. I've heard this. I don't think I could break it down in the 1800s. I think the robber barons, the railroad barons, stuff like that. I think the oil barons, stuff like that. I think they made a higher ratio. But in recent history, there's never been a differential between the people who are working for a guy and the guy at the top, what they make. I mean, you saw it. We bailed companies out and they gave themselves $30 million bonuses at the top. Okay? That is greed. Henry Ford said, I want to pay my employees enough that they can buy my cars. And so I don't think that the greed should be there. Hey, you make a nice living. That's fine. You don't need to make $30 million and pay people $8 an hour at the bottom. Okay? I think that's greed. think that's over the top. No problem. You don't need to make $8 an hour. You're the one taking all the risk. You're the one who's working more hours. You're the one with all the pressure on you. I understand that. But the greedy mentality of oppression. You know, if you go and around the world, you go to the poorest country in the world, and many of them, you will find unbelievably wealthy people who don't give. They're greedy people, and they're in trouble. And so money lovers are destroyed. Money, and I want to lay the foundation here. Let me take you to, let's see. Let's go to Acts 4. Acts 4. So let me kind of explain. One of the foundations of money is God gives certain people the ability to make money, not for them to be rich, but so they can give a lot. That's why. God has blessed you. You're smarter than the rest of us. You're more creative than the rest of us. You're more diligent. Stuff just comes to you. You have great ideas. That was not for you to be exalted and praised and you to be have three mansions and stuff like that. It's not what it's for. It's for you to be able to help the people who don't have the opportunities. I'm not talking about, you say, Pastor, that's socialism. No, socialism is mandatory. I don't believe in the government taking somebody's money and being God. Okay? I do think that the rich giving to poor is biblical. But it's not giving if they take it from you and hand it to them. You know, that's not biblical. That's not, I've heard people say, God is socialist. He wants you to take, in the Bible, he wants the poor rich to give to the poor. Socialism is not giving. Socialism is taking. Okay? It's a big, big, big difference. You can't do it from the heart. Listen, nobody who makes $10 million a year and pays $5 million in taxes and that money goes to people around America, that person is not giving. He's not giving a penny. He's having money taken from him. In the Bible, it was voluntary. And so that's a whole difference there. Look at Acts chapter 4. And verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and of houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to every man according as he had need. So it came to the church, distributed it. And by the way, it wasn't to the government. Okay? The government is way too big to discriminate on who should get money and who shouldn't. They just have to blanket it out to everybody, and so a bunch of lazy people get it too. Needy people and people who won't try. And people who don't try, Bible says they don't work, they shouldn't eat. When you give it to the church, I can say, all right, man, why don't you have money? Well, I can't find a job. All right, how many hours did you look last week? Well, it's kind of busy. What were you doing? He was playing video games all week. Okay. Man, I'll pray for you. You know what? Here, I'm going to take your, let's go. I'm going to buy your kids some food at McDonald's. Why? Because the government can't do that. Listen, if you know how many times I've been in welfare areas forever, and I love the people, how many times I've seen daddy of four kids and mama there together and talking to them, why aren't you married? Because if we get married, we'll lose our benefits. And so he doesn't work. He lays around all day playing video games, watching TV, and she takes care of the kids and does that, and they just get a check from the government. That shouldn't be supported. I've seen that. I have seen that 500 times. If you're lucky, he's playing basketball and not just laying around playing video games. If you're lucky, at least he's moving. But I want to say, the church is God's way. And I wonder at Open Door, if we took stuff we had and started selling it and giving it to the church, the biblical pattern, just stuff we don't need, stuff. Lands, they had lands, plural. You can only live on one at a time. And they sold them and gave it to the church. Why? Because they wanted to meet the needs. And so that's good. And that's Bible. And that's the way to do it. Next. You think you really should sell things and give them to the poor? That's what they did. I'm not saying sell the house you live in. I don't recommend that. I mean, God might tell you to. If God tells you to downsize, that's fine. Go ahead. Do that. I don't mind it. But you know, you need a house. You need shelter. I understand. But if you have something that's just laid up, you know, should I get myself in trouble? Who thinks I should get myself in trouble? Who thinks I shouldn't get in trouble? I see you want me to be in trouble. It's me, that's why. And can you imagine the guy who has his 57 Chevy or a 66 Cobra in his garage, Christian guy, and it's worth six figures and dying? And how many people in Haiti, how many orphans, how many Christian, how many churches could have been started? I'm just saying. I want you to have a car. I'm not against that. Your hobby is motorcycles. You have a motorcycle garage. Fine. Just be ready to let go of that thing. Sell your Harley tomorrow if God wants you to. All right, I'm in trouble. All right. Money tests us next to see how much the Lord can bless us. Luke 16. Money tests us to see how much the Lord can bless us. Wise pastors have always said to me that in your church is enough money to supply the needs. But most churches can't do what they want to do because people are holding back. And you got to find a way to get them to be givers. And I'm not very good at that, and I don't talk about it much, but we're tight right now. You know, I think it's there, you know, if we would give and sacrifice. And Luke 16. This point is, money tests us to see how much the Lord can bless us. If, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? In the context before and after is money. He says, God says, if you can't be faithful in mammon, if you can't be faithful in mammon, you can't be made faithful in greater things, the power of God, influence, wonderful things in life. Why? God tests you with money. Listen, if I took the money in my pocket, which is not much, it is today, we have $3, and let me check the other pocket. I always keep it in my left pocket. I shouldn't say that, should I? And so there's my $3 I had in my name today, and I have one Haitian gold on the table over there. It's worth a couple pennies. And so if I said, hold this money till next Sunday and bring it back to me, 75% could hold it till next week because not everybody would trust it with money. Somebody else had to go for a value meal, for a dollar meal. And the thing, why? Because money tests, it shows who you are. Most people can't handle money. If most people, most Christians got $10 million, it would ruin them. It's very powerful. And God sees, and how does he test you? He says, if you're not faithful in the least, you'll not be made faithful in much. How does God test you? He tests you with $3. He doesn't test you with $1 million. See, God gave you, and you made $25,000 in a year, and you got more and more in debt, and you blew your money. And you say, oh, God gave you money. God says, I gave you money, and you weren't faithful with what I gave you. You weren't careful with a little bit. I can't give you any more. I don't reward irresponsible behavior. The same person who says, if I had a lot of money, I'd give a lot of money. Do you give a lot of money when you don't have a lot of money? Because God tests you with money, and he says, you're not faithful in the least. I think the principle applies to two things. One, a little bit of money. How do you do with it? How do you handle it well? Well, if I had a lot of money, I'd take good care of it, and I would know how much I had, and I would invest it wisely, and I'd do all these things. How do you do with the money you have? Not saying you can invest. Do you tell everything where to go? It's a thing called a budget. You know how much you spend, you know how much you need, you know. In other words, your money just doesn't fly to your pocket. You have money in your bank account, and you go charge everything. It's not real smart. You're blowing 10% of your money right there with interest. Then you pay a late fee because you don't pay it on time. Why? Because it's who you are. You're irresponsible. It's your character. God can't trust you with great things. What's going to happen? I want some people to influence for God. Good. God gave you money and you didn't handle it well. How are you going to handle with your new convert? You say, well, that's just one. It's not that big. If I had 20 people to invest in, I would really make a difference. If I had a big class, I'd teach them well. You're not going to get a big class. Because everything small to you is small. To God, nothing small. Amen. Everything's big. And so, there we go. Money tests you to see how much God can bless you, to see what he can do with you. Next, we should be good with our money no matter how much it is. We just talked about that. We just read those verses. Let's look at Luke 14. Since we're there, I got other verses written down. Luke 14. We'll try to finish, more or less. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, didn't finish. Why? Because you didn't plan your money well. You didn't know what to do with it. And can I say this? It's okay. It's not as big of a deal if at the end of the month you come up short, but you should have known at the start of the month you're going to come up short. That's different. I took food to somebody told me, oh, we are so broke, we don't have hardly money for food or anything else. And he says, we are just poor as dirt. And they were having marriage problems, and I grabbed some bags of groceries, went over to counsel them, and grabbed the bag of groceries, came in the house, said, here's some food for you. And they said, oh, and they looked through it, and they said, you know, you might as well take that bag, give it to somebody more needy. He says, we don't cook at home. We're not going to eat this stuff. I said, okay, just who you are. Said, I mean, now they could say, we are going to get evicted. Yes, you are. And I need a check right now for the money. I need to pay my rent. You had your money for your rent. God provided. You blew it. And you know, mean old Pastor Byram, I say, we'll pray for you. I'll let him lose her place. Sometimes we don't have it. Right now we don't have anything for anybody. But sometimes, I mean, why? Because they've got to learn to be faithful. With, well, it's just $14 for, you know, pizza tonight. With that mentality, it's just, God says, you're not faithful in the least. I'm past that point. Where were we? We should be good with money no matter how much it is. And let's see. Proverbs, let's go to, oh, I got so many verses. Proverbs 27. I'm going to have to run through the last couple points because I'm already done on time. Proverbs 27. Hopefully I've gotten everybody mad about something and I'll have had a good service. And Proverbs 27. See, I got the poor and the rich. 23. Do you know the casinos are full of poor people? Do you know the lottery is overwhelmingly poor people who buy lottery tickets? Yes. Do you know fast food is overwhelmingly bought by poor people? They blow their money. And you say, well, they don't. That's not why they're poor. They don't make very much. They can't make very much because they have no character. The blowing their money shows who they are. And you don't love poor people. Pfft, check my record. I just got back from Haiti. We should be good with money no matter how much it is. Let's see, Proverbs 27, 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Diligence. You know how everything's doing. You change your oil on your car. You don't blame God because you didn't change your oil for 20,000 miles and say, God, why did my car break down? Stupidity. Okay, one more group to get mad. Next, money does not satisfy. labor not, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, for that which satisfieth not. Proverbs, we're in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Money doesn't truly satisfy you. People are discontent, rich or poor, depending on who they are and how they look at things. Proverbs 27. Don't turn to Ecclesiastes, there's no time. Verse 23. Be diligent till the state of thy flocks. I read that one. 23 verse 4. Proverbs 23. Verse 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly to make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I wish I could teach on that. By the way, if you ever get a settlement, buy hard things. Pay things off, or buy a car, or make a down payment, or use your money quick, because money that comes quick goes quick. I know that. I've gotten many car wreck settlements, many injuries at work. I've got a lot of settlements. I get rid of it quick because it's going to, and tax returns the same way. You better do something with it quick. It's going to fly away. Be content with simple things. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Philippians 4:11. It is usually best to be moderate. Proverbs 30. I never begrudge someone being poor. I think that's fine. You can be happy and poor. But I don't think it's the best way to live. Nor do I think being rich is the best way to live. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. It says, remove from me far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Being poor is a hard life. Being poor is a hard life. Being poor increases the statistics of your children being in crime. Being poor makes you tempted to do bad things. Poor people oftentimes are used by criminals to sell drugs and other things because they need the money. Being poor brings a lot of temptations with it. Being rich brings a lot of temptations. If I have a choice, would you rather be poor or rich, Pastor? I'd rather be on the poor side because you're more spiritual. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. I'd rather that. But I don't want you to be poor. Not in America. I think it's a rough life. And it's better to be moderate in the middle. It's better to be... Now, middle income in America is rich. Okay? It's very rich. It's historically rich. Lower middle income is probably the best spiritually. If you could do that. But if God blesses you better, then praise God. Just be ready to give it away. Next, money should be gotten the right way. We're in Proverbs. Let's finish up there. Chapter 10 and verse 4. Because I think lower middle class in America is fine. It's pretty good living, historically. You have running water. You have food to cook. You can eat out occasionally. You can drive around a decent car. You can get by. It's not a bad life. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He that becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You will get money the right way. I want to say this. Pay your taxes. It's a sin not to pay taxes. Jesus was asked multiple times, every time he said the same thing. Render to Caesar, things are Caesar's. I think there's nothing wrong with you taking deductions and trying to pay less, but you pay your taxes. God commands you to. And the verses I've written down here somewhere, Matthew 22 and verse 21 and other verses, you know what's in there. And I don't like everything the government does. You say, I don't like what the government does with the money. I shouldn't pay taxes. Do you think Jesus liked the government, like what the Roman government was doing? They were going to crucify him in a little while. His Jewish people were hanging on crosses around him. Okay, I know our money goes to abortion, and I know our money goes to all kinds of terrible things and blown to the UN. I know. You're looking at Mr. Frugal here. I hate the way we spend money. If I was president, we would have a slaughterhouse of financial cuts. But you know what? Bible didn't say pay your taxes to good governments. Okay. All right, that's the last little bit of people who weren't mad at me. I got them. And so, money should be gotten gotten the right way. Diligence, Proverbs 13 and verse 11. Let me see, did I read that yet? And wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor, hard work, is a way to get it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, the Bible says. And so, that is God's way. That's money. And the foundation of money. And we need to get our thinking God's thinking. If you know, I just believe this. Watched it, seen it, been around the block in America. You work hard. You are diligent. You are wise to your money. You'll get by okay. You'll probably rise in your company. Just work hard. Work for the Lord. And do be wise to your money no matter how much God has given you. And the foundation of money is this. I just want to conclude. No matter how much you have, with money, you spend it very carefully, whether you got it to blow or not, and you give. You do not let money be your God. You control money. You don't live for money. Money is just a tool that you can help bless people with and to provide your family's needs. It is not to be lived for or loved. All right, let's pray. We'll get going. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for these good folks we have at Open Door. I pray that we would be people who handle our money properly. Use us, Lord, in a great way and help money not to get us, as so is so common in our society, but help us to get a hold of money and use it for you. We just pray you bless the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.